Good morning. And welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church this morning. We are so glad that you're here. You know, I'm so glad that Earl is here this morning. At least I could pick on him a little bit, and I've already got Connie this morning. So now this is Earl's turn. Earl had a little problem with his people, and so he decided he was going to come up and give them a demonstration so they could understand a little bit more about his sermons, because he found that they weren't getting it all. So this is for you, Earl. It says, a minister discovered that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. Four worms were placed in four separate jars. The first worm was put in a jar of alcohol. The second worm was put into a jar of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a jar of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was put into a jar of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in good, clean soil was alive and doing well. So the minister asked the congregation, what can you learn from this demonstration? And a little lady in the back got up and quietly raised her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. So that's you, Earl. Earl, it's amazing how we as individuals listen to words. And sometimes they don't mean exactly what they say. And this morning, I'm going to be telling you a little bit about something that I have been worried about for at least 2 years. And this is the meaning of the word church, okay? And I want to let y'all know that I'm going to be talking about that from a dictionary. I'm going to be talking about it from a federal government level, a state level, a local level, and the biblical view of what a church is. And I want to tell you that if you read a dictionary, you will get confused. If you read the federal government, you will get confused. You'll get confused in everything that you go to read except for one thing, and that's the Bible, and the Bible will kind of set you the truth. But I would say this, over the past 2 years, I guess I have worried about as much as anybody, and I've been concerned about a church as about anybody, and I've been concerned about each one of us here. But the one thing that I want to say is that I appreciate y'all's patience and understanding. And then I've tried to say that my mama would understand that what my patience is, because she's had patience with me for long enough. But I tried to turn out to be all right for her. But she said I was a stubborn little boy, and I would argue with a signpost, and I'd probably win because I'd stay there that long because I'd have that much patience. Well, the older I get, the less patience I really have. I think I do anyway. But then I began to think, you know, 2 years? Man, that's a long time. But I thought about Moses and the people in the desert, and that was 40 years. And I said, whew, man, I can't wait 40 years. Then I thought about Noah, and I said, Noah? How much patience did he have? Oh, he was going to only build a boat, an ark. A boat, I don't know. Well, it's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 foot high. And I said, here he was on dry land building that boat, and here I am complaining about 2 years of waiting. Patience. So, folks, you know, when we begin to think about what some of our forefathers have gone through, and especially our biblical writers, and what they went through, 2 years is a short time, isn't it? You know. But the Lord blessed them, and the Lord is going to bless us. So when you think about what I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to read, because this is about the first time in the Bible, first place in the Bible, I find
a church mention. And that is chapter 16 of Matthew in the 18th verse. And this is the Lord talking to Peter, and he says, I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And this is about the first place in the Bible that you're going to find, one of the first places that you're going to find that this at any time that you go to look. And the other verses that I'm going to read this morning goes back to Colossians, and this is when Paul is speaking. And this is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And in verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So that means really that who is supposed to be number one in our lives, and how are we going to put it number one in our lives? And that means we're going to be dealing with that. But then we come up and talk about what is a church. And I'm going to use a dictionary as the first example of what a church is. It says a building set apart or concentrated for public worship, especially one for Christian worship. Public worship, a religious service. All Christians considered as a single body, a particular sect or denomination of Christians. A group of worshipers, a congregation. Now, if you listen to what I just said there now, I said that the church is a building, didn't I? I said it's a congregation, okay? So I want you to listen to those two things as I talk now. And I want you to think about something else as I begin to think about church and a congregation. I want you to think of a house and a home. If you have a house, if you see a house, it's a home if somebody lives in it, right? And if you've got a church, it's where we come to worship in, right? So without people, a house is not a home. And without a building, we don't have a church. We got to have the people. So we're looking at people being in a church as well as we're looking at a house with people in it being a home. So this is the one thing that I want to point out to you. And then when you ride through the town of South Hill now, you can, right, most of you remember where the old people's store was and the old store in town. And what you're going to find there now, anybody wrote it, noticed it? It's a church, a worship center. Oh, yeah, a little bit different. I ride down through La Crosse down there, and I find out that here's a metal building down there. It's probably called a church. It's a worship center. I go back on that old 58 and Irene, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Old Cannon Motor Company, what's in that now? Church. People go to church there. You see what I'm trying to say? So all of a sudden, we see different things and people going different places to worship the Lord. And I want to tell you, over the years that I've been in my business, I have been in many churches, all over the state of Virginia mostly. And I put in draperies, and I put in stage curtains and all types of things, and pew seats, and I don't know what all I haven't done. But I wanted to let you know that there's two in particular that I went into. And I put draperies in Fort Lee. I had an opportunity to go in into a chapel at Fort Lee, and I put draperies in. And it was two sets of draperies. There's a bottom set of draperies and a top set of draperies. Well, I want to tell you the odd thing about it is that we had taken the draperies down, and as we were taking the draperies down, it kind of like I pushed on the wall, and the wall turned around. Okay? Well, that was for the Catholic and the Protestant. All you had to do was flip that wall around, and you could have Catholics in the same building with the Protestants. I was at Fort Lee. And Raleigh, does that mean anything to you sitting there this morning? But it was strange that all of a sudden the wall gave away and you turned it around. And I can tell you a strange feeling came upon me because I was in the building and we were hanging draperies. And I can tell you, folks, that it was a dangerous, dangerous job because they were about 18 feet up in the air. And so it was kind of dangerous to get up there. But we got that done. And the second thing that I want to tell you is that I was into a church in Alexandria. It was in an industrial park, okay? And buildings all the way down the street everywhere, an industrial park. It was called the Agape Church, okay? The only church that I'd been in, only church that I've ever been in, that I noticed that it had a sprinkler system in it, okay? Now, when I went there, the lady asked me to come because it was going to be a difficult job. And I went up there, and I want to tell you what had happened because most of you ladies would know how to appreciate that. Everything had to be fire retarded in the building, okay? Well, but have note, the first guy that put the drapers in the building didn't fire retard them, so they called in somebody to spray them. Well, that didn't work, folks. They had these nice purple or whatever you want to call it draperies up there, and somebody sprayed them, and it looks like it had chalk in it. So it just run everywhere, and it was completely a mess. And so the lady called me and says, it's an emergency. So I made her something and took them up there. And why was it an emergency? Well, because in the back they were going to do live broadcast of his services up there. So it had to be put up real quick. Well, I got that taken care of for that lady. And so you can see that I've been into to write many different churches. Now, for y'all's information, I was going through the paper the other day, and I looked in the paper in the South Hill Enterprise, and how many churches you think might be listed? Anybody ever took a count of them? Lots. There's a lot. I just happened to count them. It was 175, okay? 175 churches, okay? It was 75 in the telephone book, I think. So it was quite more in the paper. Then I want to tell you about our Concord Baptist Association and how many churches we have. How many churches do we have in our association? 31. If you haven't had an opportunity to go into the Concord Baptist Association, I would encourage you to do so. It's a wonderful opportunity to go in there and speak to Carolyn and see Daryl Wise if he's there. But the big thing about it, that's 31 churches. Picture of 31 churches on the walls there now. So it's something that we can go all and see and be proud of that we have 31 churches in our Concord Baptist Association. So now I want to go back to a little bit about what a church is and what our county called a church. And this just happened to be the building inspector. And before I get through today, you might understand why he didn't do something, but he didn't want to take the personal responsibility of calling a building a church, okay? Because I asked him what a church was, and he said, well, a church is a sanctuary with bolted down pews. Well, of course, you know, we have said something about what a church is, and we know that a church is not quite what he has said it is. So let's take another look at what a church really is. When we look at a federal government for definitions of church, it says the issue of establishing definitions for a church has big implications. Institutions that are considered churches are granted tax-exempt status under a certain section of the law. Well, what does that mean for us as a church? That we are registered with the federal government? Why are we registered, okay? Well, that's because if we have payroll, we got to pay all of the other things, Social Security and everything there. Then we are granted a tax-exempt status. And then for the people who want to claim their donations to a church as a deduction, the church needs to be registered there so they can go back up and confirm that it's a church. So there are implications even attached to the federal government. It says, common definition of the word church refers to the religious entity or organization, not just the building itself. The definition becomes more complicated when taken into account each religious group's own definitions of what constitutes a church. Qualifying as a church. It says some of the confusion over churches arise when the IRS differentiates between religious institutions like churches and religious organizations. However, in some cases, a religious organization might qualify as a church, even though it does not appear to be a church in the traditional sense. Now, you see, as I begin to talk, churches are having different meanings at different places. It says, this is a case with Young Life, a nonprofit organization that the IRS officially recognized. Young Life does not have an established place of worship or church building, per se, but it does have weekly meetings at specific locations. So here they are, a young group having meetings at a specific location. And so the IRS granted them as a church. Some guidelines considered by the IRS. Now this is where it attaches us as a church. This is what it really means to us as a congregation. Because as a congregation, it says a church has a distinct legal existence and religious history. Second, a recognized creed and a form of worship. A established place of worship. A regular congregation and regular religious service. And an organization of ordained ministers. Now, doesn't that kind of fit us? We've been here like a distinct legal existence for, 134 years now, something of that nature. So we've got all of these things that take place. So we are registered in the RAS, and we conform to their policies. And our state government has a little bit difference too. It says the term church indicates any departments, regular schools, or religious education, and other activities of a church, including kindergarten, elementary, secondary schools, preschool, nurseries, and day centers. So under the tax-exempt status for those institutions, look how many there really are. And it says a church department means administrative division of a church used in carrying out the work and related ministers of the church. And this is where it really touches us. I feel like the state really touches us when it says these particular things. Public church buildings mean a building, the primary purpose is of which is to house the regular worship service of the church and those adjacent offices and buildings at a single location in which activities are conducted to carry out the work of the church and its related ministries. So that's where I feel like we fit into that category very, very good, that we are a public church building. So that's what the state is going to say. Now, I'm going to tell you probably what I'm going to say as a church too, because you've heard those things. And before I get into the other part of it, I'm going to relate to what I think a church is, okay? And this is my personal, and y'all might have different ones. Okay? But a church does not belong, a church building does not belong to us, okay? It's dedicated to the Lord's work, okay? This building is dedicated to the Lord. We are trustees for it, but it belongs to the Lord, okay? Now, when we come into this building, okay, what happens to it when we come in? Then we are the church, we are the congregation, but when we come into this building, Jesus Christ looks at us as a church. He established us. And we then become part of this building, okay? It's like a house and a home. Is this a home to us in a way? I think it is. When I come in, what do I see here? I see my Christian family. Does it make me happy to see each one of you here? You bet it does, okay? Does it make you happy when you can come in and visit with the other and fellowship together? Isn't a feeling of joy that you have or comfort that you have? You know, it's a comfort that only some people know, but even animals know that. If you ever looked at a chicken with a little bit of babies, why do they always flock around the mother, you know? So when we flock together, that's what God expects us to do. Again, what is a church? It says, ask this question to almost anyone, and they will tell you it's a building on the corner where people congregate. So it's a building, just a building. It is mind-boggling to think that the uniqueness attributed to God's people has been given to a lifeless building that decays every day. There seems to be a multitude of thought on this subject. Almost everyone who goes to a building called a church feels that the building is the church. But as I read in the scriptures, I can find only one church. Is the building the church? It gets even more complicated. There was a Methodist church in town that went into a building program and built a new church. And the reason they built a new church was that old one was landlocked in. It was a little small church and small building, and they needed to move out. So they ended up selling that building, and they sold that building to the Eagles. And who was the Eagles? The Eagles turned out to be a motorcycle gang, and they installed a bar where in the area where the altar was located. Now, when the Eagles have a meeting, they drink booze where the altar was in the church. If that, in fact, was a church, then we must ask, why is it not the church now? Understand? It was. It's just a building. It's no longer a church. It's just a building. Okay? There was another group in our area called the Four Square. They moved out of their little church into a vacated Safeway store. Now on Sunday, they are backslidden. Are they backslidden because they don't attend church anymore but instead congregate in the old grocery store? Many religious people, motivated by the law, make statement they don't even go to church. They go to the Safeway store. Now, that Safeway store is not a church. Why would they go to a Safeway store? So then you get another opinion, okay? Are these people not a church because they attend the old Safeway store? Isn't it strange that a grocery store, a union hall, a civic center, a large hall, or even a theater can be a church, but say a home and you can't have a church in your home, okay? You can have Bible study there. You can have singing there. You can have almost everything in there, but they don't call a home a church. You see what I'm trying to say? Let's go back to the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to go back to the Bible, and I want to tell you, in the Old Testament, what was the temple? Okay? Look at the temple, and where was the holiest of holies at? What happened in the holiest of holies? Only a few people could go in there, right? Well, what did the holiest of holies expect? Didn't they expect the Lord to come down and be with them at that particular spot? That's what they expected. And that's the way we're taught. And even when I went into to talking about what Jesus was talking upon Peter, and upon this rock I will establish my church. Well, as we look at that, the 11 disciples were there. But as those 11 disciples were there, they were still in with the law. Okay? In other words, they still thought that God still came down. Okay? But now it's a different story, because as you begin to look at Paul and what Paul's teaching was, it's entirely different. Okay? The building is a place where the church made, not made by hands. The building is a place where the church not made by hand meets. The building is not the church, regardless of the cost or how beautiful it is. Remove the people and the church is nothing but an empty building. While we don't outright consider worshiping the building, we do make it a holy place to come and meet God. I think it is the time to realize the Father does not come down to us because we go to a church building, neither does he walk the aisles, nor do we have to reach out to touch him. He dwells in all who are born again. Oh, well, now let's see. That means I got to do something. I got to be born again? Oh, yeah. And if I'm born again, what am I now? I'm part of Jesus' church, okay, that he established. I am part of that because I've been baptized and I have faith and I repented of my sins, and now I'm part of Christ's church, okay? Okay? I am part of that church, okay? Why do we go to a church building? Why do we come here? Why do we come to church? Good reason we come to church. I come to church for a lot of reasons. Like I see a lot of pretty faces here, you know. I see a whole lot of people I want to see. I see a whole lot of people that know Christ. I know a whole lot of people who love Christ. I see people that are warm. I see people who are nice, and I think I see caring people. All of these things that we do are not self-centered people. Do we care about others? You better believe we care about others. Do we want the best for others? Sure we do. But this is a part of us as being a Christian. What do we have on the inside of us that makes other people want to be like us, okay? Paul's and the new meaning of the word church, and this goes back to Paul, and this goes back to Romans, Ephesians, and Galatians. Now we come to a change in the meaning of the word church. It is no longer just a group of people, but a single body. Whoa. Now what Paul is talking about is completely different. Paul is talking about all people. All people, all churches, okay, that have repented and believe in him now are one, okay? Some of the New Testament terms for the church are as follows. I only got 16 of these, so I know you're going to remember them all. But here is what they are, okay? The church, the New Testament terms for the church are as follows. The people of God, the new creation, the fellowship of Christ, the body of Christ, the salt of the earth, branches of the vine, the elect lady, the bride of Christ, ambassadors, a chosen race, a holy temple, priesthood, son of God, household of God, members of Christ, and a spiritual body. Not one time does any of these term images refer to a physical building or a denomination. The Gospel of John speaks of the one shepherd and the one flock, and that's John 10:16. And Jesus prays for his followers may be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. The most stirring passage on this point is Ephesians. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Let me read that one again. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is Father of all. So when we look at that, that's what we can say. And I only lost a page, so I guess I can stop right there. If I've lost a page, let me see if I've got it in here and just missed it. Well, evidently, I hear it. That's going to be that part of it, but I am missing one page. I must have left that at home. So now what happens is that we have found out that who is a church? We are the church. We are the church all together. So we are the church, and all Christians are a part of that church. And this morning, I was going to talk in the last part of it that I don't know where it was. I wrote a little something there. But the last part of it was your foundation. What is your foundation based on? You know, is your foundation based on Christ? If your foundation is not based on Christ, then I'm going to give you an invitation this morning to come to the front, to repent of your sins, and have faith in the Lord and let him know that you want to be part of his body, the church. So now we will stand and sing our invitational hymn, which is 275, I Surrender All.